Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Great Friday edition of the program. We come to you after an IU victory. Indiana won its third straight game last night. This was a road game at Illinois, 92-74. Really, it had the feeling of a blowout for most of the game, to be honest with you. Let me say this, most of the second half, with Indiana leading at 10 points at the halftime break, they came out and were able to add to that lead very quickly and very efficiently against Illinois. And yesterday I said a lot about Illinois' defense, a lot of concerns about it being just a road game, how this team would play on the road after having some success at home. Even some games they didn't win at home, they played well a few weeks ago, and that has continued. Last night, Indiana maybe played its best game of the season as far as conference basketball goes, and it was a shared effort. Lots of standout performers. Obviously, none bigger than Rob Phinisee. What a performance he had. And I've said this before, and this has been a question that I've posed to some of the IU guests we have, but how good could he be at Indiana? I forget he's a freshman. How good could he be at Indiana as a 3 or 4 year player that's here for his career, that knows Archie Miller's offense and defense inside and out, and is an extension of the coaching staff on the floor? I mean, just a tremendous performance from him. I really think that maybe we would have gotten a performance like this from Robin. He's had some really good moments. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from him at all, but I feel like we maybe would have gotten as all-around a performance like this from Rob. He was headed in that direction earlier this season. He hit the big last-second shot against Butler to lift Indiana to a victory, but I really felt like he was headed toward this. Not that he's going to do it every game, but then that injury, that concussion, and a concussion's not just a normal injury. It's something that it can take you a while, even once you're cleared to return, to get back to yourself. You get out of shape. You're not used to it. Just groggy, a lot of things that go along with that. But he's back, and he's playing great basketball. And that's, I think, what is most exciting to me, that this Indiana team is playing well as a team. I keep using the words energy and effort and confidence and things like that. They're finally playing as you would expect a team at IU to play, whether it's a Final Four team or whether it's a team that barely makes the tournament. They're playing as Indiana basketball players should, with a lot of effort and pride and getting on the floor, doing what it takes, the small things to win the games. And I think that's why they're having success. But the most exciting thing is where I was headed with this, is that it's not just Romeo and Juwan Morgan. And Juwan specifically had a strong, strong game on the inside last night for Indiana. But it's not like it's just those two that are leading Indiana to some success here late in the season. Yes, the game before this one, it was Justin Smith. He was the unsung hero. Last night, Rob Phinisee. There have been other players in all these recent games step up to help with scoring and to help with other key moments of the game. And that's what has to have you bullish and a little bit confident maybe about this Indiana team, that you know what, they can beat Rutgers at home. And Rutgers has beat Indiana 2 straight. We shouldn't forget that. Of course, once earlier this season, once at the end of last season. But this is an Indiana team now that you've got to have some confidence in when they play. It's not just, well, they're going to give up tonight like they did maybe a couple, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, maybe when they did during that 7-game losing streak. I don't think so. I think this team's turned the corner. There are clearly some things that are going better on the floor itself, and I got to believe that this team's doing better with whatever was going on off the floor as well. But Indiana needs one more win in regular season to really have momentum. I mean, that's big momentum. 4 straight with the way they've been playing, but they've got to come back. It's senior day. It's at Assembly Hall. Rutgers is, I mean, they're a dangerous team like everybody in the Big Ten is, but let's be honest, with Indiana playing the way they are, and it's at home, it's a game Indiana should win. So if Indiana can do that, if they can get a win on Sunday, if they can head into the Big Ten tournament with a first-round bye and start playing in the second round and get a win there, I think they're really good for the NCAA tournament. If you start to read about some of the other bubble teams and how generally things are shaping up by some of the bracketologists out there. So Indiana, get the win Sunday at Rutgers, get a win in the Big Ten tournament. It might be awful hard to deny them based on their non-conference wins and based on how good the Big Ten has been this year. Now, Indiana playing the way it is, having some bad moments in 2019, losing 7 games in a row, playing a lot better now. Could this be an Indiana team of some crazy destiny? I'm not at all predicting that they're going to go win the Big Ten tournament in Chicago. I don't mean that at all. But could they get hot? Could they make a run? Could they be playing on Saturday? Could they maybe make it to the championship game? Heck, maybe they could win it. Who knows? But I think as an Indiana fan, heading into this last regular season game, heading into the conference tournament, you have to feel completely different about things than what you did just 2.5, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was before that Purdue game. To me, that's when it really started to change. It dipped the lowest it's been at the Minnesota game because of how the team got beat and because of, I thought, just terrible, pathetic effort. Didn't even look like they cared or wanted to be there. But that Purdue game, it was a loss. I happened to be at that game in person, and I left thinking, you know what? There's some possibility here, but they've got a lot of work to do. And then the Iowa game after that, I thought, man, they're going to win one. And, of course, some late three-point craziness happened, and they didn't. But ever since that moment, that Minnesota low, the Purdue loss, the Iowa loss, it's been building back to what we've got now, which is some success on the court for this Indiana team. And it's March, and it's Indiana, and it's March Madness, and it's Hoosier Hysteria. And this is the way it should be. They've got a fighting chance to make the NCAA tournament. And more importantly than that, they are playing basketball the way that you would expect it to be played in the state of Indiana. So my hat's off to the team. My hat's off to Archie Miller. Still a long way to go. I'm not at all saying that they can't slip up against Rutgers on Sunday and this whole thing crashes and burns. But my hat's off for making a big pivot, a big turn in this season down the stretch with a renewed effort, with a renewed teamwork, getting along, showing that there's some care among the team, huddling all the time, you know, that sort of thing. And, of course, most importantly, this has led to some victories for the team. So, exciting stuff. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on this Friday program, segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Segment two, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is with me, and we'll recap some details from that IU victory last night. And with it being Friday and Indiana having a quick turnaround, it's not just a Sunday game, it's a noon game on Sunday. Jared and I will take a preview of the Rutgers matchup as well. Because I know Indiana's playing well right now. I know the game's at home. I know it's senior night. There are a lot of things that point to reasons why this should be a success for IU to close out the season, but I wouldn't get that far ahead of yourself. This is a Rutgers team that can be dangerous as well. We'll talk about that some with Jared when he joins us. And Jared's segment is presented by Coffee Crossing each Friday on the program. Then, in the second half of the program, we're going to be joined by Paul Neidig. Paul is the assistant commissioner for the IHSAA. He's also in charge of boys basketball and therefore in charge of the boys basketball state tournament. And, you know, there's always a lot of talk about, hey, what's the attendance like? Is high school basketball, now that Romeo is gone, is it still a popular thing in our state or in Southern Indiana? And I think that the tournament this year has been one of great interest. And, again, I go back to Seymour on Friday and Saturday. That's where I was at. The crowds maybe weren't what they were, sold out, packed, can't find a seat at Seymour, but there was still a really good crowd there on Friday. And I thought a solid crowd there on Saturday for the championship game with 8,000 plus seats and just two teams, two fan bases there to fill up as much as you possibly can. So Paul Neidick with us to talk about some storylines from the state tournament this year and just a lot of things going on this time of year with high school basketball and the IHSA, and he will be with us. That's the guest lineup presented by Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. I think that last night you got to call it a career high night, a career type night for Robert Fennessy. He's been, I think, building toward this night with some of his efforts recently in games. He had 17 points, which is a career high. He had 5 assists in the game, and he played 32 minutes. Again, 32 minutes out of 40 without a turnover. He was the top minute getter on the IU team as well. But 32 minutes against an Iowa team that really likes to get out and pressure the guards without a turnover, that is really, really good for Rob Fennessy, no question about it. I also thought that Deron Davis continues to give some big and important minutes to IU, and he's a big, big presence for Indiana in the low post. He had 15 points last night. Did not play the previous game to Michigan State. You know, he's had a lot of injury and then an illness and just little badgering things that have kept him out or kept him from being at full strength. It was great to see him back last night. He obviously was a big contributor. And then a player that I've been critical of, a player that I, you know, you support them because they're on the team and you know they've got talent. But Devontae Green last night, 4 of 6 from the field. I thought he made some pretty good decision-making. He actually moved the ball when I thought he should move the ball. For the most part, he dished out 6 assists. 6 assists, that's big for him. 4 rebounds, no turnovers. He played 25 minutes. So I thought those two guys were very key for the IU team as well. And then one other note, 5 players in double figures for Indiana, led by Juwan Morgan. He had 20 points, which was a game high. I mentioned Fennessy had 17. Justin Smith, you know, he had 24 the last game, back with 15 last night. Solid, solid back-to-back games by Justin Smith. And how about that nasty dunk he had on a pass? I believe it was Devontae Green that fed him moving toward the basket. He just absolutely about tore the rim off. Of course, Devontae Green, 11 points. Romeo Langford, 10 points last night. 9 different players scored, 5 different players reached double figures, 17 assists, just a lot of things last night. Points in the paint, second chance points, everything was going Indiana's way. And some of it may have been luck. Some of it may have been Illinois gave up once they got down a little bit in the second half. But a lot of it is Indiana's effort and the fact that there are other players stepping up to help Juwan and to help Romeo, and they're having some big games, Justin Smith and Rob Fennessy and others as well. So it's exciting for Indiana, as they definitely are keeping their name out there for the NCAA tournament. Going to be really interesting to see if they win this game Sunday, what things look like and what they have to do to get in with the Big Ten tournament starting the middle of next week in Chicago. How about that? Conference tournament starting. Some of the mid-major conference take advantage of this earlier week to go ahead and get started, which is fun. I watched a little bit of Indiana State yesterday. Unfortunately, they got beat. Hopefully, there's some help on the way with a great recruiting class for Greg Lansing, led by a local player, Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central. But love to watch some of those mid-majors. It gives them the opportunity to shine, especially this weekend when there's not a ton of games. But how about next week? It's conference tournaments. Basketball basically from noon on every day. And this is March Madness with the high school tournament taking a turn for the semi-state next week. Just a lot of fun. And glad the tournament is here. Glad the Big Ten tournament is going to be fantastic. I mean, the conference, we know the conference is really, really good. There are going to be some great matchups even early on. I don't know about the first day, but that second day even of matchups, I mean, some of the teams that are likely going to have to play in that first round, like Penn State and maybe Rutgers, I mean, they're quality teams. They're capable of beating just about anyone on a given night. So the Big Ten tournament is going to be especially fun to follow. And I guess there's a little renewed excitement, as I mentioned earlier, because Indiana's playing well. and Indiana has a postseason chance again. And if Indiana plays the way that they have, who's to say they can't be the one that wins the Big Ten tournament or that makes a deep run into the tournament? So a great time of year. Excited about this weekend with the regionals at the high school level. Excited about the conference tournaments, the Big Ten tournament specifically next week, and the fact that March Madness is now fully in effect. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Don't forget, Hoopsters a great place to hit this weekend. You've got IU on Sunday. They'll be following the Jeff Red Devils as well on Saturday, potentially for two games. Jeff opens up Saturday morning with a matchup against Bloomington South, which I think will be just a terrific game. And then, of course, maybe in the night, a potential matchup between the Red Devils and Center Grove, led by Trace Jackson Davis. I know talked to a lot of people from the area, some from Jeffersonville, some are just fans of basketball. They're going to make that trip to Seymour to support the Devils in that morning game, but also to get the opportunity to watch a future IU player in Trace Jackson Davis and his Center Grove team as well. So a lot of fun tomorrow. If you can't make it to Seymour, we'll have the broadcast. We'll be following the Jeffersonville-Bloomington South game. We'll also have someone at the Southridge Regional. That's where Silver Creek will be at. They'll take on Evansville Memorial in their first game on Saturday. And, of course, I think a great chance for both of those teams to advance to at least Saturday night, if not beyond. And we'll continue our coverage, kind of roving coverage, going back and forth between the two games, keeping you posted with everything going on. So we'll have that for you Saturday here on the Big X. Of course, IU on Sunday, and backing up a little bit, regional championship games on Saturday night. So a lot of basketball, a lot of fun for you this weekend locally, opportunities to get out and see some great ball, and I hope you take advantage and do that. That's a look at the first segment. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of Assembly Call coming your way next right here on a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday show. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is our guest. And our chat with Jared each Friday is presented by Coffee Crossing. Brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy our warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, and delicious pastries from 410 Bakery. Stay inside or use our convenient drive-thru at Coffee Crossing. Jared, so many good things to talk about from last night. Indiana gets not just a win, but almost a blowout-type victory, playing very well. Lots of players scoring, lots of players contributing to the win. And as we head into the final game of the regular season and the all-important Big Ten tournament ahead of this Hoosier team, I can't think of a better way to score your final road victory of the regular season in the manner and the style that IU did last night.
Man, finally, a victory that didn't come down to the final second. You kind of spent the last couple minutes there, like, relaxed.
Yes.
I'd forgotten what that felt like. You know, it was funny because when Illinois made their little run, I think they got it down to 13. I think it was 80-67. It felt like they had cut it to two, you know. But then Devontae Green hit that big three, and Indiana pushed it right back out. So just, a really impressive performance on so many levels from Indiana because, you know, the things that Illinois really wants to do, they want to turn you over and they want to, you know, kind of make you play at a fast pace and get you out of what you want to do. And Indiana was just so poised and calm and confident and just, you know, scored in so many ways. I mean, for so many games this year, it has felt like, all right, you know, maybe you've got one, you know, one guy going, or maybe you've got another guy shooting well. But very rarely has the offense just clicked, where everybody's kind of getting the shots they want and making them and in rhythm. And that's what we saw. And, you know, that's what this team is capable of when They've got all their guys. Everyone's healthy. You know, Rob Phinisee's out there leading the way, and you're shooting with confidence. And, you know, just it was easy to forget that because we didn't see it for 2 months. But, you know, I think last night was really the culmination of the way this team has been playing since that Minnesota game, you know, where they really turned things around, started playing harder, started playing more together. And, you know, hopefully that's a sign of things to come, because if Indiana keeps playing like they did last night, they're going to have a lot more basketball ahead of them here for the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Jared Morris of Assembly Call is our guest. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. I mentioned this earlier in the show. I also have talked with you about this before. Watching Rob Phinisee last night do his thing and lead the Indiana team, not just in scoring, but as he normally does as far as the facilitator, the point guard, I mean, can you imagine that guy in an IU uniform for the course of a 4-year career, what he could accomplish and what he could lead Indiana to as almost a coach on the floor, someone that knows and is learning still Archie's beliefs and offense and defense to a T, that can become, again, a coach on the floor in his final couple of years there?
It is. It's a wonderfully pleasant thought to think about, you know, and it's one of those things when he was, you know, out with the concussion and then when he kind of struggled to get back to form, you know, it was easy to spend time thinking, man, you know, think about how good he was earlier in the season and what this team could look like if he got back to that point. Well, he's back to that point, and he, you know, he's just phenomenal. I think, you know, Brad Underwood, you know, said that he was fantastic last night after the game, and he is. You know, we saw, you know, really for the last four games, you know, Purdue, Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan State, we've seen his defense on the perimeter just be outstanding and really lead to the defensive turnaround Indiana's had the last four games. But last night was a showcase for his offense, and his defense was still fine, but it was all about the offense. I mean, he was the main reason why Indiana was able to attack that Illinois defense so well, in addition to the fact that Illinois just didn't play, you know, as good a defense as they normally play. But part of that was just, you know, Rob is just so calm and he's so confident and he's not going to force things. But if you leave him open, he's going to take it. And he just has a, you know, a calming presence on the team that you wouldn't expect from a freshman. Like, you don't, you know, I've talked about, you know, earlier in the season, people are like, well, you know, is this team taking on too much of Romeo Langford's personality? And it's like, well, you know, if your team is taking its emotional cues from a freshman, you might have a little bit of an issue. But I'm starting to rethink that a little bit, only because this team kind of seems to take its emotional cues from Rob Phinisee in certain senses. And, you know, that's somewhat natural given that he has the ball in his hand so much and he's out front on the defense. But there's just a calmness, especially late in games when he's out there, where everybody just seems more settled. And, yeah, I mean, you talk about, you know, thinking about what he can accomplish in an IU uniform. You know, it's natural for the comparisons to Yogi Ferrell to start coming, because Yogi Ferrell played so much as a freshman. And they're different players, and that, you know, those are different rosters, so it's an unfair comparison. But just the fact that, you know, you can have that conversation, that shows you what kind of 4-year potential he has. And, you know, it really, the more you see him play under Archie, the more it seems like he's just the perfect fit for what Archie wants to do on the floor on both ends. So, you know, the future looks bright with Rob Phinisee, and the present right now looks incredibly bright, because if he keeps playing like this, I mean, he makes Indiana really, really tough to beat.
And I also want to bring up Justin Smith after the big career game for him last outing, 24 points and some other good things as well. That was one of the keys I said yesterday. Does he become a regular scorer on this team? I mean, to get 24 points a game is remarkable, but could he be a 10, 12, 14, 16-point-a-game scorer for this team moving forward? He comes back last night, another solid scoring effort. He did so much, and I tell you what, as I watch him play and run the open floor, and I thought IU looked great in transition last night. I know that's something after the game as well that Coach Miller made a comment about, that he thought that they played a lot better and have been struggling in that facet of the game as well. But, man, he's good in the open court where he can really let his athleticism shine through.
Yeah, he's one of the best players in the country in the open court, and that's been true all season long, even when he was struggling. What he's done now over these last three games, you know, to me, there's really a couple things. Number one is obviously just the attitude adjustment. I mean, he's playing harder. He's more locked in. He seems like part of the team again. You know, after a few weeks there where it really just kind of felt like he was drifting and floating. And for whatever reason, you know, he is back really locked in. And, you know, what was really hindering him as the season went along, and, you know, through January and February, I mean, you look at his player page, his game log on KenPom, and it's just, you know, substandard offensive game after substandard offensive game. And obviously the shooting has been an issue, and he hasn't been shooting with confidence. And the other thing is he's been forcing too many things off the dribble. Well, you know, those two things have really reversed themselves over these last few games. We saw the confident shooting against Michigan State. You know, we saw some more of that last night, even though it wasn't three-pointers, which in part is impressive because after a guy goes 3 of 6 and, you know, it's such a big deal that he's making threes, you would expect him to maybe have some heat check shots the next night out. He didn't. The threes weren't there. He didn't take them. But he's become so much more composed and calm off the dribble. He's not going 100 miles an hour and just driving into the lane without something to do. He's driving, and if they cut him off, he's pulling up for a little jump shot or a turnaround jumper. If they let him go all the way in, he's doing it, and he's doing it without turning it over or taking bad shots. And those empty possessions, you know, for a while there, he was good for 4 or 5 empty possessions a game, and those just aren't there anymore. So, you know, there is not to mention the offensive rebounding, which has been big. So there's a reason why, you know, everybody who follows Indiana and a lot of people who follow the Big Ten were predicting him as a breakout player before the season. And you saw it in very brief flashes, but nothing consistent. You know, now the key, of course, is to take the next 3 games and keep it going. But this is the guy people thought they would see, you know, where he's really letting his athletic gift shine. His skill level, you know, seems improved. And, you know, he's showing what kind of player he can be, and that is a really good player. And he changes the ceiling for Indiana, because when you've got an elite athlete like that playing basketball with that level of confidence and that smart on the defensive end, I mean, he changes what you can do. And so, you know, the fact that he's played like that and that Devontae Green has played really well over the last few games, it's like you're playing the whole game with 5 really good players out there, which it hasn't, you know, it's kind of felt like Indiana's always been playing with like 3.5 players or 4 players at a time. Now they've got 5 guys functioning well and bringing guys in off the bench that are functioning well. No coincidence that you start winning games when that happens.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, our guest. Don't forget, you can hear the Assembly Call IU post-game show right here on the Big X Sports Radio at the conclusion of all the IU network coverage. That was the case last night. It'll be the case again on Sunday afternoon once the IU-Rutgers game senior day concludes for the Hoosier basketball team. Jared, I want to talk about a couple other things. The Rutgers game, of course, and also the NCAA tournament chances and Big Ten tournament chances for this team as well. For Sunday, it's a quick turnaround. It's not just a Sunday game, but it's a Sunday noon tip-off for that game on Sunday against Rutgers. And Rutgers has been dangerous, to say the least, especially when they've played Indiana. They obviously beat Indiana earlier this season at Rutgers and also eliminated IU maybe a little earlier than what we thought last year when Indiana was defeated by Rutgers in the Big Ten Conference Tournament. So it's a Rutgers team that comes in with 2 wins in a row over this Indiana program. And I know they haven't had a banner season by any stretch of the imagination, but they, I think, are easy to see why they can be a dangerous team, whether it's Indiana on Sunday or whether it's somebody they knock out of the Big Ten tournament next week.
I mean, hey, it's a banner season for them. You know, they're not going to be the last seed in the Big
Very
Ten
true.
Tournament for
Very
the first
true.
Time. You know, and kudos to them for that. I mean, they, you know, Steve Peichel's done a really good job. They're playing much better than their talent because they're tough and rugged and they play hard. And so I think, you know, you have a win like you do against Illinois, you know, you're on a 3-game winning streak. It's pretty easy to look at that and say, okay, you know, this game's going to be a breeze. And I do feel a sense of confidence simply because of how we're playing. But if you're taking this win for granted, you just haven't been paying attention. Because as you said, Rutgers has beaten us twice in a row. Neither one of those games even came down to the final couple of minutes. So, you know, Indiana's going to have to come out and do all the things that they've been doing, you know. And if they do that, there's no reason they shouldn't win because they are more talented. You know, the advantage that Rutgers has is they have a lot of big guys down low, and that's one of the reasons why I thought Indiana was going to lose or that it would at least be a really tough game when we played up there before, because we played them with all those big guys with no Deron and no Race Thompson. You know, this game we're going to have Deron back in, and you see the impact he has like last night, just his physicality, his attitude, his toughness. you know, and Race can do that and bang too. I think that'll be a good game for Race Thompson to get some minutes, whereas these last two games, you know, probably weren't great ones for him to be in. But it'll be a little bit more like the Wisconsin game where I think you'll see him get some minutes. And that's going to be huge. And then, you know, if you've got, you know, Rob Phinisee back playing like he is and everything else going, it's a game Indiana should probably win by 10 to 12 points, but should hasn't really mattered too much in the Rutgers series lately. And so Indiana has got to make sure they come out ready to play in that one, or Rutgers is going to ugly it up and make it, you know, a 40-minute game. And at that point, you know, anything can happen at the end of the games, as we've seen, you know, with some of these Indiana games. So hopefully they're ready to, you know, to come out, send Juwan Morgan, Zach McRoberts, and the seniors out on a high note, and not make it, you know, either a disappointing finish or too much of a nail biter. But take nothing for granted against Rutgers, because you know they're going to bring it for 40 minutes.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing. Jared, what do you have as you look at some of the bracketologists out there and talk to your friend Andy Bottoms, who's part of the Assembly Call shows? What do you have Indiana needing still to do on their tournament resume to be, I don't want to call them a lock, but to have a really strong chance to be selected when the field of 68 is announced? Is it winning Sunday and winning one at the Big Ten tournament? Is it winning Sunday and then you think they're good? Is it a couple at the Big Ten in addition to winning Sunday? What do you think it's going to take to get this team in for sure?
You know, it looks like it's the same as it was heading into that Wisconsin game, where a lot of people said, hey, you know, if you want to make this unlikely journey to the NCAA tournament, then you better win out. And you better win a few in the Big Ten tournament. And so, you know, what seems most likely to me is Indiana's got to win this game against Rutgers. You finish 8-12 in the conference. You're 17-14 overall. You're going to get, if you win that game, you're going to be the 8 or the 9 seed in the Big Ten tournament. And then you win that one and you get to 18. And I think if you do that, you've got a shot. I think you're right there squarely on the bubble. It would, at that point, it would depend on, you know, what happens around you on the bubble, how many bid fees there are, all of that stuff. And if you can go into the Big Ten tournament and win two games, because the second game would probably be against a really good team, now, I don't want to say you're a lock, but I feel like you're feeling pretty good, and you know, maybe you're not even in the Dayton game. You know, you're feeling a little bit better, you know, if this team can get to 19 wins with the quality that they have. So to me, 19, you're feeling really good. 18, you've probably got to sweat it out on Selection Sunday. And if you lose prior to that, you know, I think you've really, you know, put yourself behind the eight ball and made things really challenging.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing. Coming this March, the fourth Coffee Crossing location. Watch for Coffee Crossing Sellersburg. It'll be located near Ivy Tech and the I-65 interchange. Jared, thanks. Lots of great stuff today. What a fun time to follow this team. And, of course, college basketball and the Big Ten Conference as a whole has been great this year. And it's going to, I think, get even better with conference tournaments starting next week. Thanks for your time today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call with us. And don't forget, you can catch Jared Sunday after the IU-Rutgers game. We'll have the Assembly Call IU postgame show right here on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Paul Neidig. Paul is the assistant commissioner of the IHSA. He's in charge of boys basketball in the state tournament. We'll talk about the state tournament coming up next with him after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
What a great time for high school basketball in our state. The sectional tournaments are so fun, but regionals, two games in one day at a lot of the great locations for high school basketball across Southern Indiana and our entire state. And joining us today to talk not only about tomorrow's regionals, but about the state tournament as a whole, and really high school basketball as a whole, is Paul Neidig. He's the assistant commissioner of the IHSAA, and he's also in charge of boys basketball and the state tournament. So first off, Commissioner Neidig, we appreciate your time. I know it's a very busy time of year for you and the IHSAA.
It is, but man, what a great time of the year. It's just a ball to be able to be involved with this tournament intimately, and you know, Indiana, of course.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the tournament and the popularity and the attendance of the tournament. We were blessed, and really the entire state got to participate, but I always take credit here in Southern Indiana that we got, especially up close and personal, the opportunity for the last 4 years previous to this one to watch the really unbelievable high school career unfold of Romeo Langford at New Albany High School. And, of course, that all culminated last year with the trip for the Bulldogs to the Semi-State and just an unbelievable finish in that game where New Albany did not come out on top. But the crowds along the way, not only fantastic, but the build-up and the interest and the how early people were arriving at the various places like Seymour to line up and try to get the best seat possible or try to get a ticket that they could to get in the door. Those were some special times, and that really kind of coincided with the start of your time as the assistant commissioner in charge of boys basketball with the IHSA.
Yeah, it did. Last year was my first tournament, and you know, it special is exactly it. You know, with Mr. Romeo coming up through that area, and it just proved to everybody that Indiana still loves its high school basketball. You know, another story is born every year. That was the 108th chapter of this tournament, and this year we're going to write the 109th chapter. And the same excitement is out there. We had sellouts across the state last week at the sectional level, and it may have been on the first night of the tournament or it may have been on the last night, depending on the matchups. But there's a lot of interest out there, it's kind of fun to see. And we're always going to have our naysayers out there. I get it. You know, the tournament's changed. It's not a single-class tournament anymore. But our schools have changed, and the size of schools have changed, and nothing stands still. And, you know, I just see a lot of enthusiasm for hometown kids who grew up in their community that still play for their high school that the fans are still coming out and supporting, and that hasn't changed over the years.
Absolutely. Paul Neidig, assistant commissioner and the commissioner in charge of boys basketball for the IHSA, is our guest on this Friday, one day out from the regional tournament, which will take place across the state of Indiana tomorrow on Saturday. And, you know, I wondered, after Romeo and after some of the great crowds and experiences that the coaches, players, fans, and everyone had over the last couple of years with the buildup for that in the state tournament, what would things be like this year? Would there be a drop-off in attendance? What would Seymour specifically be like on a big Friday night with two semifinal games involving four really strong programs? And I tell you what, when I walked into that gym, especially as it got to be about halftime of that first game in that sectional semifinal, and you see the crowd, and you see the crowd building for the second game, and then when the second game arrives, everybody from the first game wants to hang around to see a big rivalry game like New Albany and Floyd Central, and then you get on Twitter and social media later that night to check scores, and you see pictures coming out of Newcastle with that huge gymnasium just packed for some of those games and other great sights and pictures from across the state. I thought, you know what, just as you told us, high school basketball is going to be okay post Romeo. We're still going to pack them in there and have some great crowds.
It is. And, you know, I tried to cover the state. I started in Hammond last week, and you know, there was interest in Hammond, Indiana, and a nice crowd for their tournament there. And then I went down and visited our friend Chad Gilbert in Charlestown last week on the Wednesday night contest, and Charlestown had a nice crowd. And, but one neat, I walked into the Hatchet House late on, after I stopped by Clay City and saw a full house there, and then I made it rather speedily through the country down to the Hatchet House, but got there and caught the end of the first overtime game, and then obviously the second game that night. And again, a great crowd in a great venue in Washington. So you're right. I mean, I follow the state pretty close with Twitter and social media and what's going on out there. And I had a lot of pictures sent to me that were full houses. That's pretty neat.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. As you make your way around the state to these games and check out some of the big matchups and the great venues, one of the things especially exciting about tomorrow – is the parity in some of these classes as we work our way through the regionals to the semi-states and the state championship games coming up a few weeks down the road. There are some really cool storylines, some here in southern Indiana, others in northern Indiana specifically. I know Blackford had some great storylines this year with Luke Brown and what he was able to accomplish. But as you look around the regional sites and you look at the rankings of the teams and the records of the teams and some of the matchups, or maybe even in some cases the rematches that exist for Saturday, some really unique storylines and a great level of parity. I don't know that I can recall a tournament where across the board, and I'm thinking about our local regionals, of course, first and foremost, where they're really, in some cases, it's hard to pick a favorite. It's hard to pick somebody that you think's a for sure winner because there is so much parity this year.
I completely agree with that. I thought going into this tournament, as I studied it this year, we'd have a lot of parity. I thought the field was wide open. I thought it was probably more wide open than it has been in the past. And that is, you know, it's just good for the game. It just shows the quality of coaching we have in our state, the quality of basketball players we have in our state. And, you know, it's just, you know, we got people that are doing a great job with our kids. And, you know, that's exactly what we get when that's where parity comes from. When you have a large number of kids who love and play the game and coaches who teach them to be better people and better players, you know, that's why Indiana is the way it's, that's what's great about what we do.
Paul Neidig of the IHSA is my guest. Paul, let's talk about beyond tomorrow for the winners on Saturday night, tomorrow night, that come out of the various regionals. It'll go to the semi-state round, which is the following Saturday, and of course just a one-game semi-state to get to the state championship game in all the respective classes. Tell us the sights of the semi-state. I know here in southern Indiana, Seymour continues to be a constant, but yet last year, I believe the first year for Washington in the Hatchet House, which is another great facility where maybe we'll have a local team, Jeffersonville or Silver Creek, win a regional and get the opportunity to play at one of those, or maybe at the same place, those great venues. But set up the semi-states and the locations and some of the things that have went into that for you and your time with the IHSA.
Sure. You know, it's at the end of every year, we're in a constant state of review. You know, we want to make sure that we're looking at what's going on. And the great thing about Indiana is we've got all these great basketball cathedrals that are capable of hosting even the semi-state round. So, you know, that's a good part of my job. I'm not sitting here begging for facilities that are big enough to host. I've gotten multiple places. But we did make the move last year's tournament from Richmond to Washington. Richmond did a great job hosting, but we were looking for a little bit more of a centralized southern location, kind of a mirror of Seymour on the other side of the state. And then this year, we moved the Huntington section, or Huntington Regional, up to Elkhart. And so the historic Northside Gym in Elkhart, Indiana, is going to be hosting their first semi-state, or their first semi-state in a lot of years. So we're excited about that. And then Lafayette Jeff's been a traditional host for a long time. So you can see I tell people all the time, my roots are in southern Indiana, and this is a state tournament. This tournament needs to be spread across the state, and the culmination of this event's going to be in Indianapolis in 2 weeks, but we're going to celebrate this in the corners as the semi-state goes too. And you know, people are going, part of getting there is being able to travel as a team, being able to, get off the bus and play and be prepared with all those other things. And I always say, road goes two ways, folks. And it doesn't just lead to Indianapolis. It leads to southern or southeast Indiana, southwest, and all of our corners. So, you know, I'm blessed to be able to oversee basketball in Indiana, in this state, obviously.
And, Paul, let's talk a little bit about you and your background. You came to work for the IHSA in the middle of the year in 2017, and are from Southern Indiana. You've got some connections down our way, specifically to the pocket city of Evansville, where you've been very, very heavily involved for a number of years.
Yeah, I was part of the Evansville School Corporation for 30 plus years, but you know, I started out in small town Indiana. I was a North Posey High School Viking back in the day, so I learned what it was like to grow up in a small town. I spent my career in a city like Evansville and a great corporation like Evansville, and you know, so it I think I have a lot of perspective when it comes to the different places. I've been over to the Jeff New Albany area, that southeast pocket, for a long time, and I've gone over there a few times when I was coaching in Evansville. We took our lickings by you guys and had to go back across to 64, but it was still great competition along the way.
Paul Neidig, Assistant Commissioner for the IHSA, is our guest. I want to close with this, and plenty of topics that I'd love to broach with you and hope to be able to have you back from time to time. But, you know, one of the questions is from fans and others, how do officials get assigned for postseason? Obviously, you want your best officials, your experienced officials working as you get deeper into the rounds of the tournament. That's a process. There's a lot that goes into that as well, and I think maybe a little explanation, a little detail on that might be interesting to fans that are listening today.
Certainly, and be happy to do that. You know, one thing I like people forget sometimes is nobody's perfect out here. This is a game that's been designed by human beings. When we put the peach baskets on the wall, we have coaches, and I watch a lot of games, and I've often wondered why that 1-3-1 was working for you. Why'd you switch that up? It may not have been the best decision, you know. And obviously players are learning, and there's some mistakes along the way. But we lost it somewhere, and you know, officials are working their tails off too. And, you know, there isn't anybody perfect. But yet I think we have unrealistic expectations of perfection sometimes. And we're not saying we don't want to get it right, because we do, and we work hard to get it right. But, you know, we have to keep this game in perspective. But we do start. I travel around the state, and I talk to officials in the locker rooms. I watch them work games. And then, you know, as this comes in, there's an education component that our officials have to complete every year. They're not just sitting back and waiting for the information to come to them. They're out seeking that information. They go to association meetings. They do rules meetings. They do certification clinics. And all those things matter, and we record those, and they go into their total point system. And then schools get an opportunity to evaluate the officials that they've seen. And all that goes into a formula, and we get a rating. And experience also matters. I mean, people that have officiated the state championship in recent years get credit for that. So we also want to reward our people who have achieved at a high level. So there's a lot of things that we look at. And then once we do that, we look at regions. We look at where people grew up. We look at what school district they live in. We look at where they went to high school. We look at all those different things and try to make the best assignments that we can, given the information that we have available to us. And it's not perfect. I mean, there's things that every year I learn, and hopefully we can do things a little bit better. But, you know, it's not just throwing darts at a dartboard, as some people think. Or we don't start at the bottom of our list and move up, although those guys are good officials too, just trying to get in our tournament. You know, one thing I'm proud of this year, we've got 36 new officials into our boys tournament this year that are working their first tournament this year. They got to start somewhere, and these guys are out there working hard to get better so they can hopefully get to do a state championship someday.
Paul Neidig, Assistant Commissioner with the IHSA, kind enough to join us the day before regional tournaments will begin across the state of Indiana on Saturday. Paul, thanks so much for the chat. Love to have you back from time to time to talk about our great game here in the state of Indiana. Enjoy in the middle of, I know you'll probably be at multiple sites tomorrow, but safe travels and enjoy it. Should be a very special day, as regional Saturday always is for our state.
It is. I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you for what you guys do. You know, it's an important part of what we do, and having media coverage and people that care about basketball within their communities just helps us promote this game and keep it special.
Yeah, we're glad to be there. Paul, thank you again for the chat, and see you out at a regional on Saturday.
Very good. I'll be out and about.
Absolutely. Paul Nida, great to hear from him on the right in the smack dab middle of the state tournament. Great guy, great leadership with the boys basketball state tournament, and a lot of interesting things to talk with him about, and I hope to have him back from time to time here on the program to join us. That's going to wrap things up. Don't forget, speaking of regionals, we're at 2 tomorrow. We're at Seymour and we're at Southridge to follow the Red Devils of Jeffersonville and the Dragons of Silver Creek. We'll kind of have back and forth roving coverage of those with Lee Kelly and Zach McCrite. We'll be back Saturday night for regional championship games for our local teams, and then IU basketball on Sunday beginning at 11 a.m. with the pregame show. Don Fisher has the call at noon of Rutgers at Indiana. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday to recap everything. We're smack dab in the middle of March Madness here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.